Spokane, 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. For 70 million Americans from the Midwest to New England, the next few days will be more than just uncomfortably hot. They could be dangerously so, with heat indices over 100 degrees in some places, especially at risk the unhoused population.
There's still going to be a lot of individuals just out there on the streets. There's still going to be a lot of individuals in encampments, you know, so it's a real easy thing. If you see someone, you know, they might be asking for money. You don't have to give money necessarily, give water, you know, give a snack, you know, give something to help hydrate them.
He's with a homeless outreach organization in Lewiston, Maine, which is expected to be much hotter than usual tomorrow. Two massive wildfires continue to burn in the Ruidoso, New Mexico area. And now the area is also at risk for flash flooding. 51 counties in Texas declared disaster areas. This is ABC News. Health officials expect there to be an increase in COVID-19 cases this summer, but no, experts say there's no major threat due to high levels of immunity. About 100,000 customers are being told their pet insurance coverage is being dropped.
There are dozens of other pet insurance providers, but Dr. Rena Carlson, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, says that even pet owners who don't have coverage should plan ahead.
Start thinking about a savings plan, just like we save for our health care.
She fears the rising cost of care may drive up so-called economic euthanasia, the heartbreaking decision by some pet owners to put their animals down because they can't afford procedures or medicines. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Botanists call it Titan arum, but it's more commonly known as the corpse flower, and the endangered rare plant is now blooming at London's Botanical Garden. The flower emits a dead body smell to attract pollinating insects that feed on flesh. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. DNA testing confirms an arm found on an Illinois beach belonged to Shardae Robinson. Maxwell Anderson is accused of killing and dismembering the 19-year-old Milwaukee-area Technical College student in April. Other remains were found at different places around southeast Wisconsin. A big explosion Wednesday morning rocked downtown Madison and Civic Media's John and Gordy show. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
John and Gordy were about to wrap up their show when...
They do crank out the...
Good Lord.
What was that?
It shook nearby buildings, including Short Stack Eatery. Co-owner Sinead McHugh talked to our Gordy Young.
I totally thought it was thunder.
Two construction workers were hurt, but they're expected to be okay. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Marquette to play the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles will host the Wisconsin Badgers in men's college basketball, the oldest rivalry in the state. The game is set for Saturday, December 7th at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The two teams have faced each other every year since 1958. Baseball tonight, the Brewers play the Angels for the rubber match in their three-game series, the Crew winning last night 6-3. And we learned that Willie Mays died at the age of 93. Mays once hit four home runs in a game, April 1960, against the Milwaukee Braves at County County Stadium, the Brewers' Pat Murphy.
That's my childhood. You know, my childhood is thinking about the guys I pulled for, you know what I mean? The guys that I, you know, like growing up, you know, I'd be in the backyard and my brothers, we were from New York, so my brothers, one brother would be the Yankees, the other brother would be the Red Sox, and I'd be the Dodgers or the Giants. And if I was the Giants, I was Willie Mays. And yeah, you know, what an icon in our game, you know, just a tremendous ball player. And, you know.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s. For tomorrow, cloudy skies, pop-up showers and storms, and highs in the low 70s. More rain possible Friday and Saturday. Highs 75 to 80. On Sunday, mostly sunny. Highs low 80s. It's 67 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, our Women Win Wisconsin interview, powered by Motherhood for Good, catches up with one of the nicest candidates on any ballot, our friend Luann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
So Steve from Florida, the 920, says, going to Gilly's and Fond du Lac in the summer, having a turtle hot fudge sundae and washing it down with their mint shake. Conrad, your dad is eating a sundae with a shake chaser.
That's Steve. Actually the best grasshopper, too, right there is at Gilly's.
That's a great meal if you're trying to put on weight, right? I think that sounds good. You guys, all right, you told me your favorite drink, so let's stick to music with you guys. 7,000 Apart is in the studio. Love when these guys are here. John and Amelie, and they have Jasmine with them, too. She's going to sing a little backup on their next song, just a little bit. Okay, pace yourself. It's fine. I will, too. I'll do the hey. I can do a hey. You guys have a couple big gigs coming up, I guess, huh? Opening gigs?
Yeah, we just actually opened for BB Rexha at Titletown, and then we're getting to open up for Ex-Ambassadors that are doing a show over there as well.
Wow.
And yeah, they bring in national acts, which is absolutely awesome. We are, and that we get to open is so cool.
It is. And how
really
do, the,
cool, yeah.
How are, do you make new fans then? I assume people discover you that way.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know, I guess. But
BB,
so,
we played like during the day and like at a different stage. So it wasn't as like super like connected to her. But this time we're actually going to be on the big stage and play right before Ex-Ambassadors. So that's going to be really sick. Yeah.
Are the crowds better when you play for a big name opening because they paid more?
Is we haven't any? Done it much.
There aren't many bands that actually tour through Green Bay because it's you kind of have to
not
go.
Pop acts.
Yeah, you kind of have to go northern like. You know, part of the U.S. and you can't really go anywhere else. So it's like a lot of bands go Milwaukee to Madison to Minneapolis.
A lot of bands skip Milwaukee too. They just do Chicago and then Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's say you guys have hit it big. You're obviously on your way. You can live wherever you want.
Uh-huh.
You got Green Bay, Sweden, New York, Paris, whatever. Where do you go?
I think we'll always have a base in Green Bay and Stockholm, no matter what, because that's where our families are.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah. I think so.
But I'd love somewhere... Yeah, that was good.
Somewhere warm would be good.
As a little third little place, I'd like something very warm.
All right. So without me yakking too much anymore, I don't want to run out of time. These guys are going to indulge me and play Runaway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a song you'd rather play? I don't want to like feel like I'm strong arming you.
Okay. It's the pop song of the year, man.
Yes. Fresh off their win at the Whammies for pop song of the year, 7,000 Apart in the studio at Nightlight performing Runaway.
No one ever wants to feel like a criminal, but it's hard to live your life in this subliminal. No one ever different, but it's hard when everyone is so dang ignorant. Can't keep these feelings inside my head when the old me is dying, dying dead. Hey, it's not nice to see you, but it's nice to meet you again for the first. Never choose facts to be used that you're embracing. Can't be tracing or racing. I'm not facing to those channels anymore. No, well, I don't fit in anymore. So, hey, it's not nice to see you, but it's nice to meet you again for the first time when I'm all alive. Hey, it's not nice to see you, but it's nice to meet you again for the first.
Was fantastic. Listen, I
thank
tried
you for the backup there.
I tried to carry you guys with my haze.
That was all you. Okay. You can take all the credit for
ladies
all that.
And gentlemen, that was the song of the year at this year's Whammies and
pop
7,000 Apart. What is it?
The pop song. We
pop
didn't
song.
Win song of the
okay.
year, but you
well,
know,
it's still
enough.
A song of a year. We don't have to qualify it.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Amelie, do you do a lot of you do improvising with your voice sometimes? Like, do you change things up just to keep it interesting or what you're feeling in the moment?
Oh, yeah. Especially if people aren't listening. Then, like,
when does that ever happen? Come on.
No, we did a country club gig. That was one of Jasmine's, like, first gigs with us. She was running sound. And people were eating. Like, they weren't really paying attention the first hour. Then they got, like, started dancing and singing along and whatever. But the first hour was pretty slow. And so just to keep it interesting for Jasmine, I was, like, really, like, messing with the melodies and stuff. So, yeah, just to keep her not too bored.
Keep her on her toes. Yeah. Well, now I can say, like, when your name comes up, like, hey, have you heard of 7,000 Apart? Mm-hmm. I can say, yeah, we collaborated.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been singing with them. Yeah.
On the live version, the feature, featured artist.
So tell... If you guys can, well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk for a couple more minutes, and I'd like to have you guys play us out. Mm-hmm. And I'll thank you before we do that. Yeah. But Conrad, you got that?
Yes.
The K-Man is into this. Okay. So tell us again, in case people are listening for the first time, how you guys met, because I think that's really cool.
Yeah, so we actually met because Amelie was a foreign exchange student from Stockholm, Sweden. And we met here in Green Bay at Preble High School, my senior year of high school in music theory class. And so we just became really good friends over music that school year. And we're like trying to decide whether or not we should date because she was going back to Sweden. And we were like, you know, should we try this, you know? And we did. And we ended up dating. But at the end of the school year, we had to decide again, do we want to keep trying this, you know, despite being forced into a long distance relationship? And we did that as well, and we ended up being long distance for 3 whole years where we were 7,000 kilometers apart, 4,462.5 miles.
Ish.
Ish.
I still think that number is wrong, but I keep saying it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It worked out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The distance doesn't matter. That's so great. And you guys really are on your way. You just, like, I mean, honest to God, even the last time you guys were here and now, I just, you have like a strut or a bounce in your step, like you just have that confidence of a band on the move.
Well, I appreciate it. It's beginning of tour. Just invite us back at the end of tour and we'll have aged at least 15 years.
Conrad will give you a piggyback ride. Jasmine, am I right?
Yeah, we got that early tour glow.
Okay.
Early tour.
That's good. All right, so before we play another song, what do you guys do when you're done writing songs, you're done touring, whatever? What do you watch on TV?
Well, we just watched Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah.
Jasmine and I.
Okay.
We got together with my host mom, the lady who hosted me when I was here as an exchange student.
That's nice.
And we watched it with her puppies. So that was good. That was really cozy.
Puppies are good, yeah.
We're John loves Star Wars, so we're watching the new Star Wars show.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Oh, the Acolytes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You like it, John?
John loves all Star Wars. Okay, but here's the thing. I've heard John loves everything that's Star Wars, though.
Yeah.
It's like pizza to me. Even bad pizza is still it's still pizza, you know? Yeah. So it's like,
right.
You can't see, but I have a Star Wars tattoo. So it's like, you know.
He's committed.
It's a thing. It was my first tattoo.
I'm not going to ask where the Star Wars tattoo is to discuss your level. That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. No.
That's one of them.
It's one of them. I have a few, you know.
All right. All right, very cool. Well, this has been fun, you guys. And I hope if you have any energy when your summer tour is done, I hope you come back and see me again. You're welcome here anytime.
We'd love to come back anytime.
Yeah, you guys are so much fun. And I hope you just crush it at Summerfest, and I'm sure you will.
Thank you so much.
When's your next local date here in Green Bay?
Very good question. Let me just take 1 second to look it up. We are going to be in Appleton on Sunday. And then we're in Sister Bay. I know that's not like super local, but in Sister Bay at Al Johnson's.
Al Johnson's.
Because Al Johnson's, Swedish. The Swedish restaurant, is very turning nice. 75 years.
Really?
So we're playing for that, which is very, very exciting.
We go there a lot. I love Durk County. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And then we're just going to be next door at Hagemeister here on July 3rd.
Maybe we'll come and see that too. That's fun. All right. 7,000 Apart. Thank you guys so much. They're going to play us out. Whatever you guys indulge me with Runaway. So whatever you're feeling. Thank you so much, you guys.
Cool. We're going to end it with no is a nice word because we all have to learn how to say no.
Indeed.
Am I already in your past? Did you know this wouldn't last? Already broke. Did we go up in smoke? My burnout cigarette that you won't light up again. I silhouette. You already regret. No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No. No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No. Am I stuck on the other side? Do I ever cross your mind? Never there. Oh, do you care? Are we ready to move on? Am I already gone? Just look at me. Will you see? No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Okay. Well, it was fun. Conrad, keep your eye on 7,000 apart. Make sure they don't steal anything. I've got my good china out there. That was really fun. Check out 7,000 Apart at Summerfest. They'll be at Hagermeister down the street here in downtown Green Bay in a few days. And this summer tour, they have like 70 dates all around, all over. Stateside, not in Sweden. They're here, so check them out. Lots of fun. All right, we're going to turn to some TV talk now. And I'm going to welcome back. Last week, we had a good friend of mine on, Mike Siegel, and Mike and I talked about 80s movies and kind of our favorite 80s movies, mostly comedies, but others as well. And I thought we would have enough time to get into TV, but we did not. So I invited Mike back, as we often do here. Sometimes we just run out of time with really fun guests, and we have them back the next week, and we make it a little mini-series, and that's what we did with Mike. So we're going to cover 80s movies tonight. I'm sorry, 80s sitcoms, and our favorite sitcoms of all time, and maybe a couple other things right now. It's my pleasure to welcome Mike Siegel back to Nightlight. Hey, Mike.
Hiya, Pete.
How are you?
Good. And I was watching on the screen, and I got to say, they sounded great, that band that I'd never heard of them.
Yeah. Conrad, what was the first song they did?
That was called Side.
That's what it was called?
Yes.
Oh, are you sure you didn't have the radio on or something? It was Side? Okay. Mike, check out Side. They're great.
Okay, I will.
That's a good song.
I will say on the video, though, the woman next to you, you and her lit beautifully, gorgeous. The rest of the band in a cave.
Listen, as long as you told me I look good, Mike, that's all that matters, buddy. You've known me long enough. No.
I said you were lit well. That's all I said, Pete.
You cannot give a compliment without kind of sneaking around the back door. And
this is the second time in a row I've started out with busting your chops. And
I almost
apologize.
Wore the bowling shirt again tonight just so to show defiance. And no, Amelie, no one looks good next to her. Okay, so Mike, we talked movies last time. Has anything happened in the last week I need to know about before we proceed?
Not really.
No?
Nothing I can think of. Although dinner with our old Chicago buddies was great last week.
Yeah.
I think I talked to you right before I went to dinner with them.
You did. You were on your way out and you went to that.
You were missed.
That steakhouse in Koreatown, right?
Taylor's. Yes. It's a classic.
Man.
For those people coming to L.A., if you want a steak every good as you'll find in Beverly Hills, but for a little less price and a little classic feel, check out Taylor's in Koreatown. There's a plug that I just gave him that was unpaid plug.
And you have nothing to gain from it.
Nothing to gain.
That's when you know.
Not even a free side salad. Not even that.
This is interesting because Mike Schmidt was on the show last night, and I mentioned a Richard Jenny story.
Okay.
Last night I told Mike, I did some name dropping, and I was working on the road with Jenny in Tampa, and he and I were hanging out on a Sunday, and he said, "Come on, Schwab, I got to take you to this place. It's a new steakhouse. You got to check it out." I'm like, "Okay." So we go. It was the Outback. This is before they had franchised, though, or they had like five of them.
You were on the ground floor.
The owner comes and sits with us. He was a big fan of Richard Jenny's comedy, and the three of us are talking, and I called my dad. I go, "Dad, I was like 23. I didn't have any money to invest. You got to invest in. They're franchising. They're rolling this out. It's like insider information." And my dad's like, "Oh, well, that's great, Pete. And, you know, let me take my financial advice from jeans and a T-shirt." But honest to God, the guy sat with us. He was really cool. And now I guess they're rolling some of them back. I think they might have overexpanded. But
and in no way that guy was Australian, was he?
No, I can't remember. I was
not at all. No chance.
Probably not. Yeah.
I've been to Australia. Not one Outback Steakhouse.
He did have a machete and said good day a lot, but I think it was all an act, you know. Hey, it's good to have you here, buddy. So let's get into 80s sitcoms. And that was kind of our era. What are your memories of 80? What did you watch, Mike, when you were like in high school and college?
When I think about it now, I mean, high school and college was more or less, you know, that was our 80s. You know, that summed up the whole 80s for me. And I remember watching, when I look back, this made me look back on sitcoms, and I realized that most of my favorites were in the 70s and not the 80s. But, I mean, the big deal, like when I was in high school and the hot show was Cheers.
Yeah.
And that was number one. Well, actually, the Cosby Show. And sad to think when you look back and it's
really kind of like,
you know, clouded now.
Horrible.
But Cosby, we forget how huge that was. I mean, that was a phenomenon.
It was. It was a well-done show. It was funny.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And that was probably my favorite show for a good couple of years there.
Yeah. Same here. And then I think you had that Thursday night on NBC. It was like the Cosby Show, Family or Night Court,
Cheers.
I think. Or
Night
no,
Court, Cheers, and maybe Family ties.
Yeah. And that was a killer. That was... Night Court never really did it for me personally, but I loved Family Ties, and I loved Cheers, and I liked the Cosby Show a lot. So that was a...
I was going to mention those. Those two are on my list, actually, right now. I would put, of 80s sitcoms, I would say Cheers. I would put Cheers number one. And I've watched a few going back, and they hold up pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
Others do not. Others do not.
Who is telling me? Someone was just telling me recently, or maybe it was you last week, that they didn't think Family Ties held up well.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was a lot of, like, you know, Gen X versus baby boomer humor.
Right.
You know, Reagan era stuff. I'm sure it probably, it's dated, but it isn't. I mean, it's probably the same, you know, dynamic somewhere around with the millennials or whatever with their parents. And
right.
But that was like a big deal that he was like a totally Reagan loving conservative and his parents were hippies. I mean, that was the whole deal. But if you look back, the ensemble was really good. Like Justine Bateman was great funny. In it. I mean, she was basically there to set up punchlines and she was brilliant at it, you know, which is, being a straight man is not easy. You know, people think it's easy, but it isn't.
No, you're absolutely right. And I love and it's funny that you could joke, well, like he was a big time Republican and his parents were like liberal Democrats. That's before everybody hated each other and you could still have a laugh with people and like they still love their kid. You know?
Still be civil and social.
Right. Did you have MASH at all in there?
You know, I thought about it. It was a 70s sitcom. You know, the beginning of MASH is completely different than the end of MASH.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I mean, with every, you look at the first three seasons, and I mean, with that booming laugh track, it is just joke after joke after joke. It is all comedy.
Yeah.
And fun, you know?
Right.
And then as it got later and later and later, it just got, you know, all of a sudden the laugh track went away. And then it just, the themes got more serious. And it was just by the end of it, it was pretty serious. It was just serious. I remember, like, you know, I think maybe to this day, the season finale was, or the series finale was probably the most watched sitcom ever. I think it got like a 70 million share or something like that. It was insane.
You know,
it was the number one most watched show, I think, in history for a long time. And it was like, it just ended as cable was starting.
Right.
And so everybody watched it. We were still watching three channels and we watched
no
that
choice.
One.
yeah. Right. And you're right. It was really funny. Like Henry Blake was hilarious. Frank Burns
oh my
and
God.
Margaret. And they were all funny. And then they left and Alan Alda made America sad for the last five years of that show with his preaching nonsense. Oh my gosh. That was horrible.
Yeah, and you look at the first three, you know, it was Larry Gelbart and all these great writers writing it. And it, but Alda was doing Groucho, basically.
Yeah, right.
He was doing Groucho, and it was funny.
Yeah.
But the laugh track is obnoxious, like the first season. I mean, it's just booming.
Conrad, don't use the laugh track here as we go to break. Okay, so Mike, we're going to do a quick bit of business, and we'll be back with more 80s. I'm going to find out who Mike's favorite leading man is and actress in a sitcom in the 80s. Then we'll do best sitcoms all time. This is Pete Schwabe hanging out with Mike Siegel on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Around the problem, building towers for science.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. For 70 million Americans from the Midwest to New England, the next few days will be more than just uncomfortably hot. They could be dangerously so, with heat indices over 100 degrees in some places, especially at risk the unhoused population.
There's still going to be a lot of individuals just out there on the streets. There's still going to be a lot of individuals in encampments, you know, so it's a real easy thing. If you see someone, you know, they might be asking for money. You don't have to give money necessarily, give water, you know, give a snack, you know, give something to help hydrate them.
He's with a homeless outreach organization in Lewiston, Maine, which is expected to be much hotter than usual tomorrow. Two massive wildfires continue to burn in the Ruidoso, New Mexico area. And now the area is also at risk for flash flooding. 51 counties in Texas declared disaster areas. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The embattled former chancellor at UW-La Crosse calls the charges against him bogus. Joe Gao is fighting to stay on as a tenured faculty member. He faced a disciplinary hearing Wednesday. Gao was demoted in December after he made pornographic videos and posted them online. Some researchers want the government to rethink subsidies to large farms to turn waste into fuel. Chris Hunt is a researcher for the Socially Responsible Agriculture Project. He calls biogas a greenwash.
Greenhouse gas emissions aren't the only problems with factory farms. As someone who's been working on this issue for 20 years, it's actually one of the problems with factory farms that concerns me the least.
Supporters say biogas production can be responsibly regulated. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The embattled former chancellor at UW-La Crosse calls the charges against him bogus. Joe Gao is fighting to stay on as a tenured faculty member. He faced a disciplinary hearing Wednesday. Gao was demoted in December after he made pornographic videos and posted them online. Some researchers want the government to rethink subsidies to large farms to turn waste into fuel. Chris Hunt is a researcher for the Socially Responsible Agriculture Project. He calls biogas a greenwash.
Greenhouse gas emissions aren't the only problems with factory farms. As someone who's been working on this issue for 20 years, it's actually one of the problems with factory farms that concerns me the least.
Supporters say biogas production can be responsibly regulated. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s. For tomorrow, cloudy skies, pop-up showers and storms, and highs in the low 70s. More rain possible Friday and Saturday. Highs 75 to 80. On Sunday, mostly sunny. Highs low 80s. Currently, it's 66.
Hey, Wisconsin. It's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to a very special Devil's Advocates radio show this Thursday. We'll be both stirring the pot and cooking with gas. Friday Eve, tune in Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this rainy Wisconsin night.
Pete, is that what I'm hearing?
What?
You got a little rain there?
We do. You wouldn't be hearing it now. We had it pretty solid all day, I would say. And I think this is the summer. Is it the solstice today or the first day of summer?
No, Friday would be the longest day of the year.
That's the 21st. But some people say the 19th is the official start. And that's what confuses me. I always thought it was the 21st.
Well, I just got off working a ship in Alaska. And it was a really weird feeling of like doing the late show and coming out of the show and the sun's still out. That's like a weird, it's so bizarre to wrap your head around it, you know.
That's
like
11 funny.
O'clock. It's like, when is this thing going down?
Mike, do you have a favorite, our question tonight is, do you have a favorite summer drink, ice cream drink?
Ice cream?
Or ice cream treat, I guess. Some people are answering not by drink, but just an ice cream treat in the summer that you like.
I was a big fan of the, what was the crunchy?
Choco taco?
Kind of. Yes. That was right.
Is that what you were going to say?
Yes.
I was going to say. Conrad, I changed my root beer float is out, Choco Taco. I forgot about the Choco Taco because they don't make it anymore. It's so
right.
good.
People were, I mean, what, do we not have the technology anymore? What happened? The guy who had the recipe died?
The really? Choco Taco is my favorite food of all time. Not just, it's so good. Oh, that's hilarious. Bridget from 818 says, Hot Fudge Sunday with pecans. Try it at Leon's in Oshkosh. Great music tonight. Thank you, Bridget.
Well, you're you're in custard country up there.
Yeah, Culver's. And yeah, there's a lot of custard around here. And that, you know, for the longest time, I didn't think custard, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was like the stuff in donuts. And
help me out, because I was born in Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's like a fattier ice cream, right?
Yes, exactly. It's like a thicker, fat, yeah. It's for ice cream eaters who want to go the extra weight, put on even more pounds.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's basically the cheese curds
of ice cream.
Of ice cream. Yeah. Okay.
I've come around though. It's good. I mean, I'm sure
it's great.
Yeah. It's pretty good stuff. So let's do this, Mike. All right. So I think we're both on the same page regarding Cheers and saying it's the number one 80s comedy or the best.
I'm with that. I mean,
yeah.
I really strained. I named a lot more classic 70s sitcoms than I could 80s. And I don't know. And even, you know, did you come up with the same thing?
Well, yes, because I had to think about MASH, but I love the old Bob Newhart show. I loved Mary Tyler Moore, but those 70s.
Those are on my list.
We should do those.
And
we
all,
could do those.
People would say
time.
All in the Family. I wasn't a big All in the Family guy, but some people would say that.
I liked
Barney
Good
Miller.
Times. Good Times.
I was a huge, huge Barney Miller guy.
Oh, yeah. Barney Miller was great.
Yeah.
Steve,
and that's an ensemble there.
Oh, that's 70s, right? That started in 70s. The 70s at least.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
And that's what, I mean, some of them bled into the 80s, but I mean, right. I would consider all those 70s sitcoms. And oddly, the number one shows in the 70s, I don't know if you've gone back and watched any Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley.
Oof.
Unwatchable. Horrible.
I know.
And I loved it. I mean, my favorite show as a kid was Welcome Back, Kotter. Unwatchable. Try to watch one. Try to sit through one now. They're really bad. And they were number one. Number one.
Yeah.
Not just of like comedies, all TV shows. Like Happy Days was number one running for years,
yeah,
and only to be passed by Laverne and Shirley, which are terrible. And you look, Gary Marshall, I read his book. He seemed like a really nice guy. Odd Couple holds up. Those shows do not.
No, I agree. Happy Days was good for like 2 years. And then as Mike Toomey says, when the Fonz turned into a superhero, it just got off the rails.
He jumped the shark. That's where
the
shark came from.
That happened like in season 4 or something like that.
It was
earlier
done.
Than people thought, you know.
And then when Ron Howard left, it was really done.
Yeah. Yeah, right. but I agree with you. And even Laverne and Shirley, like, you know, I remember laughing at Lenny and Squiggy, but every time Penny Marshall would say, I don't vote-io-do-do on the first date, I'm like... I mean, even as a kid, I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Vodio
number
Dodo.
One show, Pete. Number one show in television.
So who's your favorite, Mike? Who's your favorite sitcom actor? Let's do from the 70s. Or, I'm sorry, from the 80s.
80s is tough. I mean, look, time has given Ted Danson a, you know, credit. Because, I mean, that guy, he kept getting TV shows because he was good. You know, and people, a lot of people dismissed him comedically because he was a good looking guy. But very few people have had, you know, even one successful sitcom, much more than two or three or whatever. And he did it. So I got to give it up. You know,
I think Ted Danson, you have to say, is all time the greatest sitcom actor just based on. No, honestly, because Cheers, Becker, The Good Place. He was on a show between Becker and Cheers, I think, that did okay too. Like
he's had a million of
sitcoms.
And then he does Curb Your Enthusiasm and things like that.
Right.
I mean, the guy knows funny. He gets it.
Hate that guy.
Yeah, right? Who was the guy? Pardo, our friend Jimmy Pardo, used to tell that joke that, you know how you would go on the road and like some local MC you'd work with, you know, he's just starting out. He's got no act. But, you know, you'll sit through him and it's painful, but then he'll have one joke that you remember.
Yeah.
Like one gem in the middle.
Right.
And he worked with one guy who was that people think I'm gay because I like dancing. Ted Danson.
Wait, you kind of cut out there. Say that again.
He would just go, people think I'm gay because I like dancing. Ted Danson. And that was the whole thing. And that's all he remembered.
Oh, my God.
That was his one joke.
And that made him memorable. Sometimes that's all it takes. He was also on CSI Cyber. Ted Danson was on that. I know, like, he was on Fargo, the TV series, for a phenomenal season with Patrick Wilson, season 2. That's one of my favorite seasons of the TV show Fargo. He was on CSI Crime Scene Investigation for 84 episodes. The guy is just,
I mean, really, yeah.
Damages he was on for 23 episodes. This is ridiculous.
You can really name on one hand the amount of guys who had two successful sitcoms.
Right.
Bob Newhart is one of them. Bob Newhart is one of them. And oddly enough, Tony Danza is one of them, but you wouldn't say he was. Oh, we forgot Taxi.
Oh, yeah.
Taxi. You gotta put Taxi up there.
That's
that was one of my favorite
shows.
Is it? I mean, if it was, it was like 79, 80.
Okay.
So I don't know. It kind of straddled both, but that one was great. And you talk about ensembles.
So we're going to do that too. I'm going to ask you your favorite ensemble too, but first let's do actress. I would say, well, what did you put for actress in the 80s, would you say?
80s was, I was never aboard the Roseanne train at all.
Oh, I forgot about Roseanne. That was a good show though. It was funny.
I never liked the show. I never got on board.
I thought it was well-written.
Yeah, it might have been. It just didn't grab me at that time.
Well, if you don't like her either, it can be hard to take, you know.
I think that was partly, I mean, but 80s was really tough for me to come up with a female lead. I mean, you got to say, Michelle Long did great, and Leaving was like a horrible, she was so good on that show.
Gosh, I know.
And she left, and they still didn't skip a beat. So, look,
well,
you could say whatever you want.
Well, I thought it was funnier with her. But you're right. Most sitcoms, after year 4 or 5, it's a big drop. Cheers, I don't think, was as funny as the first 4 or 5 years, but it was still funny. It was still very funny.
And they lost Coach and filled in, and they found this kid, Woody Harrelson, and were like, wow, this guy took it out of the park. You know?
How about that?
And then Kelsey Grammer becomes a star out of the whole thing, you know, and it's amazing.
Creepy Kelsey, yeah.
Creepy
Kelsey. Woody, there was a funny... Woody Harrelson and Ted Danson were on Conan's podcast this week. And apparently Ted Danson said when Woody got there, he was like 24, young buck, and everybody else was in their 30s and 40s. So they tried to kind of show him who was boss. So they tried to play him in sports. They would play recreational. They said he crushed him in basketball, arm wrestling, and leg wrestling. And they said even John Ratzenberger, who has these tree trunk thighs, couldn't beat Woody. And leg wrestling. And then they tried a more cerebral approach, and he beat them all at chess. So, I mean, that's just great. But you're right. Yeah, Woody was just as – and they kind of did the same thing. They made him a younger version of Coach, and it still worked. Like, he was just that good of an actor, too.
Yeah. And, you know, it was good till the end, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think of lead women in the 80s.
Bea Arthur, Maude, she was great.
Oh, you know, we forgot Golden Girls. Golden Girls holds up.
Yeah, Golden Girls.
And she was amazing. She was really good. I mean, you're talking about two successful leading, you know, roles in two great sitcoms. She's got to be up there. She's got to be on totally. Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely.
Her and Mary Tyler Moore got to be on
right.
There you go.
And the Designing Women cast was a good cast, too, and they were funny, too. Was Dixie Carter the lead, or was it Delta Burke? I mean... Annie Potts was funny. I mean, that was a good show.
Yeah, that was a great ensemble.
Great
too.
Ensemble. There you go. All right, let's do ensemble. Favorite.
Okay. I can give a new one.
Okay.
Were you a fan of? Well, I got to give a sitcom thing without one of my all-time favorites, and that's the Larry Sanders Show.
Same. That's on my list.
Oh my god! And I mean, I could sit back and watch them all.
Yep.
And so that one. I get still holds up, and you really—it's crazy to think that was 30 years ago. but it was.
And he and Gary Shandling had two successful shows too. He had that and the Gary It's Gary Shandling Show.
Yeah, but I thought one of the best. Well, I love the both versions of The Office. I was a big fan of the British Office, and then this one, the U.S. one, Veep. I thought was really good.
I still have to watch it. Yeah, I hear it's
oh,
great.
Pete, you'd love it. I know. I mean, the ensemble is like killer. There's not a loose screw in that one. I mean, it's great. And I would say of women, I mean, we're going to do a 90s. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is amazing.
Yeah.
Not only in Seinfeld, but in Veep. I mean, she carries it. I mean, it's a reason she won the Emmys all the time because she's incredible.
You know, it's funny. I would put the three actors on Seinfeld, George, Kramer, and Elaine, almost put them in the top five as ensemble. But Jerry's just kind of a... It's not that he's bad. It's just he's a weak link. Like, that's not a great ensemble cast because of Jerry, you know,
right,
in my opinion.
Oh, we forgot WKRP too, but that's 70s.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll have to do 70s another night. But let's say for all time, best ensemble, you go Larry Sanders?
Yeah. Let's do that.
I mean... At the risk of sounding like a broken record player, I would probably say Cheers again. They were just Norm and Cliff were funny. Diane was funny. Sam, Woody, Coach, Carla was hilarious at times when she would rip on Cliff. I used to feel sorry for Cliff. And then I got older as an adult. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy's a dink. You know, he deserved everything. I was just like this bleeding heart when I was a kid. But yeah, I would probably have to say Cheers, but I would also maybe put, it's hard not to put Friends there. They were all excellent actors. Family's great. I mean,
to me, it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, but I mean, hell, you could put Andy Griffith's Show on there. In terms of side characters, you got to put Barney Fife up there with Kramer, I would say. I mean, you know, of crazy, like Guy Next Door.
Right.
Crazy character of the ensemble.
Yeah.
Those two were in danger. I mean, the Fonz kind of took over the show. And then, you know, and those guys could have, you know, if they went a different way with those other shows, if they went a different way with like Seinfeld, they really tried to keep Kramer from, you know, there was a couple shows there where Kramer would walk in and the studio audience would cheer.
Went nuts. Yeah.
And you could see they kind of tampered that down. They're like, no, we're not going to Fonzie this show, you know?
Right. I would say for ensemble, I guess if we're going all time, yeah, The Office, The American Office was phenomenal. And I resisted it for a long time, but it is great. Steve Carell, Ed Helms, Rainn Wilson, and the girl.
Everybody.
Mindy Kaling. I mean, so funny. I don't even know if I could choose, to be honest with you, for best ensemble.
Hell, you could go way back in, like, Honeymooners.
Yeah.
I mean, that's four.
Absolutely, yeah.
Four home run hitters. I mean, if you go about the 50s, you really come down to you're either a Honeymooners or a I Love Lucy. And I never was aboard the I Love Lucy train. I recognize Lucy's talent.
Yeah.
But I was never, I liked Honeymooners more.
Same. When we come
and
back.
We haven't even discussed The Simpsons because
no,
we're not even counting.
No, we'll do that
right?
Next. And speaking of the Honeymooners. Next, I'm going to ask Mike who his favorite wacky neighbor was in sitcom history. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Matt Nair on Air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
So Jameson from the 814 in Pennsylvania says, best ensemble all time has to include 30 Rock and Parks and Rec. You know, I think a lot of people would agree with that. I've got a lot of 30 Rock to watch. I've seen snippets, but that's it. I really never watched that show.
I think you would love it. And Alec Baldwin is hysterical.
I know.
In it.
He is funny.
He's very funny. He's very funny.
Jameson also says, did someone say Charles in charge? Just kidding. But I'll always shout out to Matt About You if it counts. You know what? How I judge a sitcom is if other sitcoms make fun of it. And I remember on Seinfeld when they said George's girlfriend, Susan, said, George, Mad About You's on. And you can tell they're taking a subtle shot. Or on The Simpsons when Homer's watching TV and you hear the ad on the TV go, next up on Wings. Who cares?
Yeah, that's great.
That's great stuff.
So that's one of those. Wings was one of those shows that was on for like 7-8 years, yeah. And you never saw an episode.
I've seen like, what a great gig. Like two. Yeah, exactly. And it was like fine. You know, the actors were good, but it was just not Cheers or whatever they wanted it to be. One more text here. Tom from New Berlin says, hands down, Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched. The husband so did not care. And then Jameson also adds, oh, shoot, Wings, loved it.
Yeah.
I would say best wacky neighbor, and it's tough because you got Kramer. You got, Ed Norton. Larry.
Does he have to be a neighbor or just a side character?
I guess a side character.
You got to put Barney Fife in there. You got to.
That's another show I just never watched. I don't know that show.
Really?
I mean, I know who he is. Don Knotts was. Yeah.
I mean, he took over that thing. He was so great.
That's before our time, though, Mike. Did your older brother watch it? How did you find
that? We all watched it. It was on reruns forever. You never watched it?
What the heck was I doing? Schmitty was giving me a hard time last night because I never saw Heavy Metal. And he said, what were you doing? And I said,
the movie?
Yeah.
Man, I loved that thing in the early days of cable. That was one of those late night things because it was cartoons and there was sex in it. So, I mean, as a 13-year-old, and it's all that kind of, fantasy, and the soundtrack was amazing.
Yeah.
But, it's like sci-fi stuff, and there was like drug humor in it, and it seemed very adult. And is it a great movie? No, but it brings back some big nostalgia for me when I see it.
My mom and dad, my mom mostly, did not want me to watch Three is Company. Because there were so many sex jokes, like in 1978, and all my friends school the next day are talking about Three is Company. I'm just nodding like a dope. Oh yeah, that was great.
We were talking about this. Somebody brought that up, and I was like, man, try watching those now. I mean, it's painful, really bad.
Right.
And the only, I mean, the whole joke, the whole premise is that he's gay.
Right.
And that is it's one the big gay joke.
You're right.
That is the punchline and everything. But the only thing that saves it is. John Ritter is such a great physical comedian.
John Ritter was great.
He carries that whole thing, and he was really great. But the jokes were bad.
I like Norman Fell. I thought he was funny for what he did.
Ooh.
But
he would make the little limp wrist sign. Oh boy, that didn't age well.
You've also got Howard was on my list from Bob Newhart, the Bob Newhart show.
Sure.
Lenny and Squiggy, but obviously we've already established that does not hold up. Wilona from Good Times, just because I liked how James Evans Sr. played off her. That was kind of funny. Yeah.
Okay.
There's so many of them. Here's the one, though, that I thought was interesting. I never watched the Tim Allen show. Tool Time?
Oh, Home Improvement?
Home Improvement.
Yeah, I was not a fan. It was just your basic kind of like corny sitcom.
Pretty cookie cutter, yeah, but... That neighbor was ranked on a thing when I was just kind of doing research for the show as the number one wacky neighbor was the, I can't think, somebody just wrote it here on the text line.
Well, if you take it as if you take it as literally as a neighbor, he's going to come up because he was literally the next door neighbor.
That's a good gimmick. I mean, you never see his face.
That was.
It's probably the best thing about the show, maybe.
Right? Yeah, that too. And I think Pam Anderson was on it at the early days.
Oh, yeah. Pre-Tommy Lee, maybe even.
Tool time.
She and I were still dating back. Then she dumped me after she got that gig. But
sure, of course she was.
Jameson also says, last one, must add Newman from Seinfeld. Newman was funny. I like Newman.
Newman is great. How about who's the guy in Curb Your J.B. Smoove on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Oh, yeah.
That guy makes me laugh.
You cut out there, Mike.
Very good.
Who, say that again. You cut out J.B.
Leon
Smoove.
From Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
Yeah, Leon from Curb.
Another show great Ted lines. Danson did like 34 episodes on. Like you could call that a Ted Danson show almost, you know.
Yeah, Curb ran out of gas for me. I think it should have ended about two seasons ago.
I agree. They weren't as cute when they were in their 90s in the last show.
Exactly.
But
poor Richard Lewis looks like a corpse.
Oh, man. You can't even
rest really, in peace.
I know. Jim from Appleton says, Wilson, Wacky Neighbors, he was the best part of the show. I agree, Jim. And
we forgot Reverend Jim Ignatowski.
From Taxi, yeah. You know what? Tony Danza, too, on that show was palatable. Like, he wasn't the weird Tony Danza.
Ensemble. That was an ensemble in every sense of the word.
Exactly.
Then we could put Danny DeVito on that list then.
Oh, DeVito, I mean, he was great.
Insane on Nardo. There. He was so good. Banta.
Hey, Conrad, let's play the... all right, so, Mike, here's... Last night, we did... it was Barry Manilow's birthday.
Oh.
And we played the song Mandy. Or did we? No, I think we just talked about it. But I found my favorite version of the song Mandy, and maybe you'll recognize this. Let's play that now.
You know.
No. Hold on.
Well, that's Barry.
Yeah. This is Conrad. This is the one. I'm trying to say this without ruining it for Mike. The Simpsons clip.
Oh, Mindy, you came and you gave without flaking, but I said you've been gay, oh, Andy, you kissed me and stopped me from something, and I,
Dad, why are you singing?
Tell a lie, because I have a small role in a Broadway musical. It's not much, but it's a start. Bravo.
Are you hiding something from me?
Like what?
Judging from your song, you're infatuated.
We are sadly running out
Bravo.
Of time.
Bravo.
Mike, this is so fun. Thank you so much. Usually, we run out of time. We'll do it again
fun
soon.
As always,
we'll do 70s, buddy. All right.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much. That's Mike Siegel, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mike, and thanks to 7,000 Apart. Thanks to all the texts. Tom from New Berlin says, Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver. I agree with that. And Conrad's dad weighs in. Tool Man had a great neighbor that you couldn't see his whole face. Thanks so much. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. Tim Sowers will be here. And I hope you will, too. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio. Good night, Wisconsin.
Why are these lights so
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Days 12 and 13 of Biden's top 100 will be touching upon the residential tax credit, leasing for offshore wind energy, biofuels, and clean construction.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap the consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.